A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share their real life experiences and the tools they've learned to move forward and live their best lives. I'm Jenny Taylor.
And I'm Michelle Scharf. Jenny, today we have a friend I've met just recently, but I have fallen in love with Penelope. She is young. She's 16 years old, but she is wise. She's very small, but this girl is mighty.
Small and mighty.
And I'm excited to have a conversation. Penelope, welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you. It's nice for you to have me.
Penelope, tell me, what does resilience mean to you?
For me, resilience means not allowing yourself to get stuck. And if you do, finding a way out.
All right. I like it. So you and I were having a chat the other day, and you were telling me some personal things. I don't know that you want to go into that, and that's okay. But what I wanted to have you on the show to talk about is, how did you develop such a keen sense of self-awareness at such a young age?
Basically, it all kind of just came down to having the right people in my life, especially my dad, and going through so much at such a young age that I was kind of forced to have that maturity and have that understanding at such a young age.
Yeah. So what does self-awareness mean to you?
Self-awareness to me just means being aware of yourself and being aware of who you are, and being aware of the things around you, and being aware of people around you. Whether that means the people have a positive impact on you or a negative impact on you.
Mm-hmm. And you recently had a personal experience, and we were discussing that, and I was just so impressed and enlightened by what you started talking to me about, and what impressed me about it, is it was a difficult situation for any person to go through, whether you're 16 or 32 or 52. And you immediately started addressing with me. You're like, I'm okay with it because, and you started listing off a variety of facts that were things that you were taking away from it. Things that you were able to assess about the situation, and then you were able to reframe that in a positive way and say, this is okay because X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
How did you learn that skill?
Just having to go through a lot of situations similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll give some context into what the situation was. So
okay.
I recently have had to let go of a lot of people who were very emotionally draining to me, and who actually I allowed them to actually belittle me and tear me down and make me a person who I wasn't. And I was very sad all the time. But I recently decided and like had the opportunity to let them go. And I decided I was going to be okay with it because people come and go in your life because we're always growing and we all grow at different rates. And it's understanding that some people aren't going to grow as fast as you will. And you're probably going to grow faster than they are or slower than they are. And it's just understanding that that's okay because there's always something better in the future. You just got to be patient and wait for it.
That perspective.
That's powerful.
She's 16.
Yeah. I'm just laughing, thinking, did I know that at 16? Do I know that still?
I didn't know it at 16. You know, everything that happened was an emotional event.
The end of the world.
For me. And sometimes it still can be. You know, honestly, Penelope, I'm learning this lesson today. In this past week, I had a relationship that I really, it was a friendship and with another woman. And I really wanted to support this woman in growth. And I really felt like she was starting out in an area of her life that was probably somewhere that I'd been a long time ago. But I was like, you know, this is great. You're starting on the path, right? And I didn't show up and support her in the way that she needed or wanted me to. And we had a conversation about it. And I was like, you know, I'm not your person. I'm not your girl. And I had to be okay with that, right? Like sometimes we just have to surrender the opportunity. It's like I'm willing to have a lot of people in my life, even people that are really not in the same situation that I am in. I love people. But sometimes there comes a point that those relationships aren't healthy and we have to say it's time to move on.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're 16, and to learn that now will save you a lot of wasted heartache and time and emotional drains in the future, which will only clear the path for you. You know, here I am, I'm starting a coaching company, I'm starting a business, and even Jay Shetty talks about this, where it's like, my time is limited. I want to be present and serve my clients, and I want to be able to be present and be with my wife and my family. I only have so much time. We all get the same 24 hours in the day. So we get to be the ones that create the boundaries and are the keepers of the energy and space that we are expending. And we have to be mindful of that. And sometimes it's just really important to let go of people that are dragging us down or not adding value, right?
Yes.
And it's not personal. It's not personal. It's just sometimes things that, something that we need to do.
Yeah. And I'm going to add to that.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
It's also about understanding, because like I'm a very social person too. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people. I love getting to know people. But it's also understanding and taking a step back and understanding that people who are social tend to be people pleasers. And they tend to want to satisfy that person's needs. And it's understanding and stepping away from that and taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture of, am I trying to please this person so much that I'm actually hurting myself?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. See, did I tell you? Did I tell you she's small and mighty, but she is wise beyond her years.
So I'm curious, how did the two of you meet? I know you're both social, but you probably, I mean, like, where did your two worlds collide, Michelle and Penelope? I'd love to hear that story.
Well, I met her father, Jeremy, at dance. He's one of my favorite male leads to dance with. And he just has a really great energy to him. And he started bringing Penelope with him to dance. And then sometimes we go to a Friday night dance class. And at this Friday night dance class, Penelope and I kind of bonded over some conversations about some. It was really interesting, the environment that was going on in the room. And she really put up a strong boundary. And I was really surprised. I was taken back because I don't want to go into details about it. But the fact of the matter is there was a personality in the room and she didn't want to participate with that personality. And she just was very strong and was like, no, not, I'm not doing that. And I said, oh, tell me about this, because I have the same reaction. And we had a conversation about that. And so our conversation started with boundaries and healthy boundaries with people. And then she just started sharing with me a situation that she had been faced with. And then there was a follow-up to that on the following Wednesday. I went to dance class and she came with her dad. And she was practicing being the lead. And she asked me if I would dance with her. And it is such a weird thing to dance with another woman who's being the lead. And she's smaller than me, but she did a great job. And but that also provided us opportunity to catch up and kind of follow up on the story that she had been sharing with me. Anyway, I was so impressed with her. I'm like, I have to put you on my show. Like, I have to.
Yeah, and thank you. And that really means a lot to me that I get to share some of my experience. Hopefully a couple people.
For those of you on the radio, you can't see Penelope, but she is just a bright light. She's got a great energy. We're on Zoom in the studio so that we can see her face. And gosh, I just love this girl. She's one of those personalities. You walk into the room and she just lights up the room. And I just immediately was like, I've got to know more about this young lady. She's just impressive. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Penelope. Penelope, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you. And I love what you were talking about setting those boundaries and being able to be aware of maybe our nature, right? We're both very social beings. And sometimes as a social person, we can have a trait or a tendency to want to people please, to want to be able to make connections with people. And that's not always healthy. And we need to really ask ourselves a couple questions. And it's funny that you brought that up, because the questions that I ask myself is this a value add? Is this taking energy from me, or is it bringing energy to me? And those are the questions that I ask myself to decide if that relationship is worth maintaining or having around.
Yeah, that's very important. And I definitely still struggle with that. Especially since I tend to want to try to help people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a person who is very big on sensing energies and stuff. And I tend to be drawn to people who need help. And I try to be a person to help them. But I've been trying to get better. And I think I have been getting better mm-hmm. on understanding that there's only so much I can do for that person, that once there's nothing else I can do, I need to walk away because mm-hmm. it's just going to hurt me in the end.
Yeah. So part of that is age, and over time you'll develop some even better skills. There's really no helping anybody. That's the truth. And the only person that can help anyone is themselves, right? So we are whole, complete, and we are resourceful. Only we have the answers for ourselves. You have all the answers contained within yourself for your life, and only you do. Sure, you're young enough now that you have the influence of your father, you have the influences of teachers or leaders or mentors in your life that you can look to and that you can maybe emulate or discover things about in order to build skills as you grow, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we are all whole, complete, resourceful, and only we as individuals have the answers for our own lives. And so I think that's how you kind of break that codependent, independent cycle. You know, what we really want to do is be interdependent with people. We want connection, and connection's really important, but sometimes we have unhealthy ways of forming connections, and that is codependency. And when we can honor each other for the individuals that we are, that is interdependence.
Yeah. I know a thing or two about that. Actually.
Yeah.
Because of past.
Sure.
Situations and past experience. Well, okay. So this story actually, and how I learned this really well, was actually from my first boyfriend and the first guy I ever loved. And I know people think that's a very strong word, especially for people at such a young age. But at first, I didn't register it as love because I was that type of person. I was like, there's no way you can be in love at such a young age. But I truly felt it with this person. And I still wish this person the best. And honestly, they helped me learn a lot of lessons that I'm very grateful for. And one of the lessons was that codependency on people, because me and him were really close. Like we would talk to each other about everything, and we'd rely on each other so much. But we also ended up getting to a point where it's like we relied on each other a little too much that the relationship started becoming unhealthy. And we both didn't see that until it was too late. And we end up having to move away from each other and separate and end that relationship because we both were seeking validation from one another, and we both wanted to, we basically, it was like, we just wanted to be with each other, that we couldn't be around anyone else. And we were so dependent on each other that we made a bunch of mistakes that shouldn't have been made and could have been avoided. But we both just were trying to hold on so much to something because we thought it was good.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to have known him and known that relationship, because now it helps me, and it's actually helped me recently in understanding that you can't rely too much on a person, and you got to learn to rely on yourself more. And you got to understand that connection is good, and having a relationship with somebody is good. But it can also be toxic if you rely or depend too much on a person.
Yeah.
To support you.
Absolutely. I love that you said that, well, I don't love it, but I appreciate that you brought up and can be aware, consciously aware, that you were seeking validation in this relationship. And I see that happen today. Your dad and I are both singles. We go to the singles dancing. It's not really a singles dancing thing, but there's a lot of singles there. And I see that in some of the relationships that are present there, not necessarily, I'm talking globally in the singles world, that people are still, even adults, are not consciously aware of their need for validation from a man or a man from a woman. And it's not healthy because they're trying to fill this void of their internal lack. And it can't be actually done by the outside. It has to be done through us as individuals. And that's where self-awareness works really comes into play. And so that's why I was so impressed by you. I'm sitting in a room of 30, 40, and 50-year-old people that are completely unaware of the drivers that are driving them in their relationships. And I'm sitting on a couch with a 16-year-old who's explaining to me why this relationship wasn't healthy and what she learned from it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have so much, you're on a great path.
Can I ask a question, and feel free to say no if something's too personal? You clearly have this maturity that is ahead of your time. Michelle and I both have been mothers of 16-year-olds who aren't. and like she said, and we're the women in our 40s and 50s, maybe sometimes still trying to figure this out. Can you share maybe some of the experiences you've had and lessons you've learned? You said you've been through a lot at a young age that kind of forced that maturity and that insight. Without prying too much, I'd love to know, like, how did you get here? To a degree, I imagine you were born with a certain personality. We all are. Are there any experiences from early in your life or the life with you and your dad that you could explain that might give us some context to where this strength is coming from? But again, if it's too personal, then feel free to say.
No, I don't like sharing that. So I was actually born in Kentucky, and we lived with my family down there up until I was about 4. And then we had to move away because they're a very toxic family, and they're very unaware. And they actually would belittle me and my dad a lot and my mother. And so we had to move away because it was just no longer a healthy environment. So we came to Utah to actually be with my mom's side of the family and hopefully gain more support. But we didn't. It was actually kind of the same. Just, it was very similar, but different. And at a young age, my parents actually separated because of differences that they had had and just the fact that they had actually grown apart and their relationship. They both understood and knew that. So they decided to separate because they knew them being together was actually going to affect me more in the future.
Can I ask, did they talk with you about it at the time? Have you had an open relationship and conversation? I mean, this is all very, again, that self-awareness, but you're aware of your parents' self-awareness. Did they...
Yeah.
Have you and your dad just had some real heart to hearts where you've seen this, or you've just really an empath that you have soaked this all up along the way? I'm super curious.
Sorry.
I love it.
Yeah. So basically with my dad, like me and I have a very close relationship with my dad, and at a young age, cause they couldn't really explain it to me because I was really young and I didn't understand. He actually was like, it's not your fault that me and your mother are divorcing, because a lot of kids think that when parents divorce, it's their fault, and that as the kid, they did something wrong because the parents never talk to them and sit them down and validate them about, hey, it's not your fault. You did nothing wrong as a child. Like, you had nothing to contribute to this. And so my dad actually sat me down and told me that wasn't my fault and that it was just that they grew apart as people. And that really helped me. But my mother, she never talked about it. And to this day, she still doesn't talk about it. And I actually don't have as close of a relationship with my mother anymore just because of the way she is and then the way I am. And it's okay. But she never talked to me about it. And she was always very vague about things. And even to this day, she still is. Which is okay, because I know that there's some pain there that she doesn't want to deal with. And
again,
I'm not
the self-awareness. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and try to save my mother because I don't want to hurt myself. And I can say, Mom, I love you. And you are always going to hold a very special place in my heart because you're my mother. You gave birth to me. You gave me life. But I'm not going to sit here and try to help you. And the way I had to learn that was, so my mom actually got into a really abusive relationship with a man. And this was like a year or two after my mom and dad divorced. He is not a good guy. And he was very abusive to her and me. And he always would talk down to my mother. And she would always be there doing stuff for me. Always be like, I don't like to use this word, but it's kind of the only way I could describe it. She kind of became like a servant to him because he wouldn't do anything and he'd make her do everything. And it was really hard to watch that. And it was really hard for me because I remember I tried to sit down with my mother and I tried to just talk to her about what I observed and what I saw in that relationship, because I wanted to help my mom and I wanted to help her be aware, because I was starting to grow up and I was starting to become aware. Because I had to be, because I'm actually more mature than my mother. And part of the reason of that being is because I've had trauma and she's had trauma, but I've gone to therapy and I've worked with my dad and I've worked with people and I've worked on myself enough to work through my trauma. But my mom hasn't.
Yeah.
Because she's scared to, and she doesn't know how, and she doesn't know the resources that are out.
I'm just super impressed by how you've taken your own trauma and the trauma of your parents, your mother, anybody around you, and made it such a positive learning experience. Because you see, some parents, you know, you can take a child, maybe the parents have divorced, and then there's an abusive relationship, and that feeds to a cycle of repetitive abusive relationships for generations to come, versus you saw it and said, hey, no way. And you learned boundaries by watching a lack of boundaries. And I'm with Michelle. I really admire that and think you're pretty remarkable.
She's pretty
cool.
I'm
excited to see like what the next 5 or 6 decades of your life look like.
I know she's 16.
And the people you can impact. Yeah.
I know she's only 16, but I feel like I just want to add her to my group of my good girlfriends because she's
your resources.
Yeah,
your go-to girl.
She's a great resource. It's just so fun. And just so grounded. You're very grounded as well. Your head's not in the stars. You're not, you know, crazy boy crazy or doing like you're just very much focused, grounded and very centered. And it's exciting and refreshing to see. I can't imagine where you're heading in the future. I wanted to go back. This isn't just about self-awareness. She is talking about the very basis of the first step of resiliency, which is to be able to take an accounting of our situation, not judgment, not blame, but an accounting, see what's gone happened and see whether it's taking accountability for our role in it or just the acceptance.
Accepting.
The acceptance of this is the facts. These things happened. Now, what am I going to do and what are my takeaways? And you've been able to very much assess situations in your life. And you said therapy has helped, other types of work, I'm sure, as well as having the resource of your dad, who's a very great person as well. And that is such a key element, and it's a muscle that you have to exercise. That is what hit me as we were sitting there on that couch and you were explaining to me, you saw a situation. It had immediately happened to you. You just had this breakup with this boyfriend. You should have been in tears. And you're like, I'm going to be okay with this. This is why I think that this is important to happen. And then when I saw you the next time, it was like, oh my goodness, I had a whole nother set of awareness come to me in this separation. And I'm so thrilled that this is happening. And I feel really good about it. That is awareness. That is awareness.
Yeah.
I have had it throughout my life, but Jenny, we talk about it all the time. Resilience is a muscle.
Yeah.
And our muscles get atrophied when we don't use them.
When we don't use them.
Right? So it becomes a way of life and perspective. I remember the next morning after my husband died, I went downstairs and I opened my gratitude journal and I found things to find gratitude in his loss the morning after he died. You know, and some of them were just simple things, or some of them were kind of pathetic maybe in their own way. But I was like, I am so grateful my husband is no longer in pain. I'm so grateful. I just had to find the beauty in the loss. But that is a habit that I've created for myself, and it's a way of thinking. And I saw
that
in
you. And I imagine it took an effort.
Oh, yeah, it did. And I cried while I was writing it.
Right, but I think sometimes we miss that, because I think sometimes from the outside, some people just seem magically resilient.
Right.
Like, oh, Penelope, you're just magically good at handling hard things, and life must not be hard for you because you're so good at handling the hard. When I think in reality, we've got to acknowledge what you've handled is hard.
Right.
And being able to do that hours after your husband died, that took tremendous determination and fortitude and just conviction to do that. And it's not just that you magically had these muscles that have been laying around.
Right. And no, and I have a habit of writing in a gratitude journal, right? And so it was part of my routine, and I found myself doing it the morning after, and I made the conscious choice in doing it to make it
undo that.
Well, and to make it about his loss, because I wanted to find a reason to have something positive out of it. And that comes from making an effort and a choice, right? And it's just like when you go to the gym I've seen you work out. I don't know if you're still working out or not. We haven't talked about it recently, but you were going to the gym for a while.
At the gym.
You were going to the gym. You go work out. And some days that workout's easy and right. sometimes it's hard.
And sometimes it's productive and sometimes it's going through the motions.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But it's the consistency.
Yeah.
It's not really, you don't go to the gym, have a massive, amazing workout and have all the results and benefits.
And become fitness.
Right.
Fit,
no.
Yeah.
We've got to take one more break and we'll be right back. And we're back. Penelope, tell us, what do you want to share with our viewers? What do you want to share with somebody who's 14, 15, 16, who might be hearing the show and thinking, wow, I have the capability to be strong and have awareness and be resilient?
So one thing I want to share is that, like, I do know a lot of teens tend to have high anxiety and depression and have that, and they tend to let that stop them, especially with having their resilience and understanding what resilience is. And I just wanted to kind of circle back, because you had mentioned that you had lost your husband, which is a very heartbreaking thing. And a lot of people have heartbreak, like whether that be through losing a friend that they've had for 10 years, losing a spouse, losing a boyfriend from something. But there's this quote, and I really loved hearing it. And it was, I'm not broken. I'm just rearranging.
Oh, I love that.
That's great.
And I really like that because not my previous breakup that I recently just had, but my breakup before that was my first love. Like, I was broken and I had a lot of disassociation from it. And I actually was just going through emotions. And it didn't even feel like I was in my body. It didn't even feel like I was. Because it was such a traumatic thing. And I know, like, to people that, like, especially at young age, that for people is such a hard thing because they don't know anything else.
Right.
And they don't know the loss of, like, a husband or something like that. And so for teens, like, that tends to be, like, the most traumatic.
Right.
And when I was going through that, just hearing that, like, while I was healing really helped me because I no longer like to look at things as like, oh, it's broken. I'm broken. I look at it as like, I'm rearranging myself and I'm growing and I'm being who I am still. It's just, it's different because no matter what you do, if you're the one walking, if you're the one in your body, you're still yourself in a way. Just maybe not in the way you imagine.
I love that.
That's incredible. And I love that we can, there's hope in knowing I can be rearranged. Broken, if I'm broken, it just sounds so final, so mm-hmm. depressing, so disappointing, like I failed. Versus rearranging, well, what if I want to rearrange, like you said, I'm still going to be me. I'm going to be the me forever. What if I want to be a different version of me? What if I want to be a better me? Maybe I want to become more resilient or I want to have better boundaries.
We need to make that a meme for the podcast, for this episode.
Oh,
I'm not broken.
I'm rearranging.
That needs to be the tagline.
Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, we don't have merch, but if we ever do one day, we have about 110 T-shirts ideas because every time somebody comes on the show, there's always
We need to have a talk after the show. We need to have a little talk about that.
She's going to set us up with some.
She can be our merch coordinator.
She could be our merch.
That's what I want to do. That's what I'm planning on doing.
Wait a second. That was our next. Okay.
So talk to me.
Okay.
I will hook you up.
So our next question, Penelope, is what do you plan to do with your life in the next 5 years? I'm not broken. I'm just rearranging.
I love that. And
there's another thing I do want to share.
Yeah.
And this is more for people who are on your podcast or been divorced or like who are confused with their partner. And I heard this quote last night And it was right before I was going to bed. And I do, this is the one I really wanted to share. And it was really good for me to understand because it's like, I'm so young. I'm not going to probably get married in the next like 8 years. I'm probably, honestly, it's going to probably be a really long time for me until I get married. But it was really helpful for me and understanding that, like, especially with the divorce rate in Utah and like people not knowing what to do. I just heard this and I really loved it. And it was really, it really impacted me.
Okay.
And the quote is, they always say, when you meet the one, you'll know. And I think that phrase is supposed to bring clarity. But it just makes me feel confused because I knew with you, I was so sure that you could balance the universe on my certainty in the space between who I am and who I was. Now, you're just a thought. You're a thought in the silhouette that I walk. Your figure walks out the door, so now that stupid phrase echoes in my mind. When you meet the one, you'll know that I knew you once and you let me go. So that's, I thought of that phrase, and I thought of that like quote. And for me, I really liked it because it's like, when you get married, like you think they're the one, you do end up wanting to be with them. But people get so caught up in thinking that people are the one for them. And they get caught up in thinking that I knew with you. Instead of saying, at the time, you were the person for me, but I grew to the point that you know that we are no longer in sync, we are no longer in balance.
Yeah.
And that quote just really hit me because of the way it was phrased with, I knew you were the one, you were the one. And like people, especially like in Utah, when divorce is such a tragic thing, for people because they get married at such a young age and they think they're going to be with that person for the rest of their life. And they get so sad about it. And it's not, and you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to have that sadness. But I've even seen it with my dad. And it's understanding that as people, we're always going to grow. And we need to take a step back and understand that, yeah, that time with the person who we were that day, you were the right person. But every day I'm changing and every day I'm becoming a new person.
Right.
And with each day, instead of becoming closer, we just grew apart. And it's not that we stopped loving each other. It's not that we stopped caring about each other. It's that we just grew apart.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, it's really interesting because I will tell you, my husband and I were absolutely... If there's a thing of soulmates, we were it. And yet, after he died, I was able to fall in love with somebody else. And I was in love with him. And then I discovered that the person I fell in love with was just an illusion that was created. And part of that was on him, but part of that was on me.
Yeah.
And I will say that at the time that I met him, I can see the reasons why it would happen. And I think it was purposeful. I learned some beautiful things about myself. And I walked away with that. And part of this is resilience, right? It's it's the resilience training that is within me. I learned beautiful lessons to be learned. And what you're talking about is attachments. And sometimes we get so attached to the idea of the person that we think that we need to stay attached to that person.
Or that we don't let that person be a person because we're attached to the idea of the person.
Right.
When you said it that way.
Yeah.
And, it's...
And we don't...
Our brains are so strong.
Right.
And they, like, especially our brains and our hearts, like, holy crap. They're so... honestly, they're two of the most amazing things and they're so amazing. But when they're put together...
Yeah.
Like, especially with... Like, I think love's a real thing, but I do tend to think that people don't feel it as often and as much as they think because their heart is more, oh, I like who that person is, and their brain's like, circling around thinking it's love, but it's not. And it's because your brain and your heart are creating, since they're together, are creating an illusion for you.
Right.
Making you think that.
And I think, so when I was your age, I think back there was a relationship I had and that did not last forever. Obviously, we were young and now we're both old and living happy lives. But I remember this friend of mine saying something to me, something to the effect of, something doesn't have to last forever in order for it to have ever done you any good. And that might be a romantic relationship. It also might be a friendship. Mm-hmm. It also might be a job or an education path. Like, there can be circumstances, people or not, that are right for us. They're the one. This is, I mean, I look at my 15 years as a stay-at-home mom. That was a choice I made. That was the time. It was right for that. I'm now living a completely different life. And sometimes in my head, I find myself wondering if I was wrong or am I wrong now? No, it could be right then, and something different can be right now, and in the future, something different. And giving ourselves that space, like Penelope said, to grow and develop. But before we run out of time, Penelope, we want your future, because we're all going to follow you for decades to come. But maybe give us the 3-5-year plan so we can be so excited for the hope of America, knowing that young people like you are at the heart of it.
So in my future, where I see myself in 5 years is not being in college. It's actually running a business. So I love business and marketing, and I think it's such a fun thing. And I've actually, ever since eighth grade, I've been following on that path of business and marketing. And I've actually recently been trying to start a couple businesses for me. And that's kind of what I see myself doing, is being a successful business woman. And in the future, I kind of want to be a coach too, and like help people understand and like help young teens learn that you don't have to be stuck. You can actually, and being stuck is a choice. Being stuck is a choice, and you can choose to get unstuck.
Yeah.
I love it. And I highly encourage that. I want you to be the first Jay Shetty, youngest. Actually, you know what? I looked into
it. Now.
I looked into it. You would not be the youngest. I just found out there was a 14-year-old that went through the Jay Shetty coaching program with the approval of their parents and the program. So you can be it.
You'd
you
be
won't
a phenomenal
actually be the
coach,
youngest. But, yeah.
A phenomenal coach and also a phenomenal marketer. So let's connect, because
absolutely.
What we do is a lot kind of like coaching. I mean, it's not coaching on the air, but we're having conversations. And we have really good ideas for merch, but we need a marketer. So Penelope, let's connect. This has been phenomenal. It really has given me hope for the future of our young people. It's so easy as a middle-aged older person to sometimes think young people are broken, or society is broken, or life is just broken. And that sometimes is kind of a negative thought process to get in. But this has been just invigorating to realize you don't have to have age to have resilience. You don't have to have any certain laundry list of trials you've overcome to be developing that resilience. And we're excited for you, Penelope, in the future time. You'll be able to continue helping other people like me and Michelle, like our listeners, and like the people in the future that you'll either work with in business or maybe coach, because we all need a little more of your energy and outlook. And it's that self-awareness and acceptance. So this has been a great interview, and we're excited that you've joined us. And thank you for imparting all your young wisdom beyond your years. Is that how they say it?
Yeah.
Wise beyond your years. And thanks to your dad in the background for letting us be part of this conversation. And Dad, it'd be cool to hear maybe your side of the story. There's clearly a good relationship there. There's open communication and growth and development that Penelope's been able to undergo with that father-daughter relationship. So that's definitely to be admired and respected.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for enlightening us and our listeners. I look forward to getting to know you better and spending time with you and dancing. And I'll be your follow anytime you need.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
See you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then off to dancing. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this episode with a little bit different perspective from a younger person that can maybe help the rest of us kick ourselves into gear, that if she can understand this at 16, surely at our age, we can start putting some pieces together. So if you're listening and We'd like you to go to your favorite podcast platform and find the show. Give us a like, a rating, and a review. It helps other people also be able to join the conversation. And as we talk about the conversation, we'd love to have you be a part of it. So if you've got a story or life experiences or maybe tools of resilience that you've either developed or are continuing to develop, we would love to have you be a guest on the show. You can find us on social media at Relentlessly Resilient. And if you go to Facebook and Instagram, you can even find a little button where you can click to have a conversation with Michelle to maybe talk about what it might be like to be on the show. And so super easy to find us. Come join us, lend your voice, and help us all as we develop these tools to move forward and live our best lives.
And remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are dealing with in their lives. Have a great day.
Thanks, Penelope.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com. or wherever you listen to podcasts.